So we're going to go back to some smaller ha'aros from Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, maybe Mem Zayin Amud Beis, things that we skipped to get to yesterday's Tuesday's shiur. So small ha'ara from Mem Vav Amud Beis. The Gemara says, talks about over there, what bracha do you make at a Beis Avel? And the Gemara explains that you, instead of the regular bracha revius, you say it a little differently. So, just open up your Gemaras for a moment. The Gemara says, what bracha do you make? Hatov ha-meitiv kel emes. Dayan MS Shofate Bitzadek Lokech Bemishbat Bishalit Beolamo Lasos Bokirtsono Kichod Rachat Mishbat Shako Shalom Anachnu Anoga Vadav Ubuchal Anachnu Chavim Lodos Lo Ulvarcho Godir Pirzos Bisrael Hu Yigdor Es Apirzazos Bisrael Lachayim. If you look at the Rambam though, Perkhas Halacha Beis, something's omitted. Also in the Rif, it says like this. Ukshimivarachim beveis avel omer, bevracha revius, hamelach achai hatov ha-meitiv kelam ez dayan emes shofet betzedek, shalat be'olam olasos bo kirtzono, shanachnu amo v'avadav, etc. So what does he leave out? He leaves out lokeach b'mishpat, or lokeach nefashos b'mishpat. So why is that? Why is it left out? So Rabbeinu Yonah already addresses this question in the Rif. Kesef Mishnah quotes it in terms of the Rambam. And the answer is that the Rif, the Rush, they felt this is actually coming from the Bahag. Just take a look, actually. The whole discussion is quoted in the Rush over here. Baal Hochos Gedolos, Kesef She'ein Lomar Lokech Nefashos B'Mishpat. Bekach Rav Alfis lo kasvo behilchosav. Mishum de'aminan b'shabes de'yesh misa b'lo chet de'yesh yisurin b'lo avon. In other words, there's a debate in Maseches Shabbos about the following question. Is there such a thing as yisurin b'lo chet? Rav Ami held there isn't. Ein yisurin b'lo chet, ein misa b'lo avon. But the Gemara seems to reject his view. The Gemara seems to include that there are misa below chet, yisur below avon. It was actually an interesting question. Was he rejected just with respect to misa or even yisurin? That's a further discussion. But one way or the other, if Ami is rejected, if Ami is refuted, I think it even says tiyufta over there. And therefore, if there's misa below chet, so said the Bahag, you can't say Lokech nefashos b'mishpat. So that's why he took out the line. That's why the Rif, the Rambam don't have the line, because we don't paskin like Rav Ami. I guess what they would say is that this Gemara reflects a Rav Ami's view, but since we slug up Rav Ami's view, so we should take it out. That's what the Rif and the Rambam hold. It's interesting, parenthetically, I don't want to get into it now, but for those of you who remember from our Thursday, Friday Machshava classes, we talked about how the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim does paskin like Rav Ami. And we discussed why is it that in Mor Nevuchim he would paskin like Rav Ami, but in Mishnah Torah he paskins against Rav Ami. But we'll leave that aside for now. In Mor Nevuchim it's very stark that in when discussing God's justice, that Rav Ami's view of Misa B'lo Chet, Yisurin B'lo Avon, is rejected.
Every year, Rebbe, teaching that, or
no?
Be my years.
I don't remember your years. This is probably one of your years. Especially, I really had that in mind, Moshe, because Moshe's come for like 5-6 years in a row. So, Nistama, he's heard it.
Was it that many times? I don't think it was. A number of times, anyway.
Anyway, so.
Ein Beis Midrash B'lo Chidush.
So anyway, you can listen to the Friday Shiur and talk about, we talked about it another time once in terms of resolving contradictions between Mishnah Torah and Mor Nevuchim, but we won't worry about that for now. For now, we'll just talk about why does he leave it over here. So the Rosh over here concludes, rejects the riff in the Rambam. He says that v'ein nira, this doesn't seem correct, she'ein l'machko bekach. You shouldn't erase this line just for that taina. V'chein amadavar, that's the minhag. The minhag is we do say lokech, nefashos b'mishpat, we do say it as it appears in the Gemara. Rabbeinu Yonah also questions, rejects the Rif's view. And he says that the das lenavo nakel mimashim atzinu b'chanoch kilakach oso elokim kodim zman ablochet v'armu chazal metnei shaya kal b'dayto lashuv l'harshia. And what he's saying is that this is not a chisaron in mishpat. We could still say kol derachav mishpat, even though a person dies without having sinned. That too is mishpat. That too is mishpat. Sha'af al pishiyesh misa v'lo chet, kol derachav mishpat, v'hu yodea lama osa. It's done for a reason, it's done for a purpose, and therefore it's mishpat. In other words, it seems that the debate hinges on how to understand the word mishpat. According to the Bahag, mishpat means justice in a strict sense. So therefore, if you say lokech nefashos b'mishpat, then you're saying ein misa b'lo chet, and that's not true. So therefore you shouldn't be gairis it. And according to Rabbeinu Yonah, so mishpat doesn't mean literally, in such a literal way, that there's justice, meaning to say that this misa was a result of a sin, but rather mishpat means that there is a purpose, there's a plan, there's ultimate justice, and therefore he thought that the line is appropriate.
Perhaps you can say whether you want to translate mishpat as justice or judgment.
Okay, that's a good way to put it. And the example that the Madana Yantif over here brings is Chanoch, where Hashem caused Chanoch to die, even though he hadn't sinned. But that was actually for his own good, because Hayakal Bedaito Lash of Larshia. In other words, had he been left alive, it would have been really bad for him. And I think our Girsa, in the Gemara, might even be alluding to the problem in a slightly different way. Because what's our Girsa in the Gemara? Show fate that tzedek lokech b'mishpat v'shal v'olam l'asuk v'tzano ki chod rachav mishpat shehakol shelo banachnu amo v'avadav. Now, there's a reason why death, even without sin, constitutes justice, is because we really have no right to live. Life itself is a gift. And accordingly, death can't be unjust. And that's why I think our Gemara might be alluding to Kichod Rachav Mishpat Shakol Shelo. Halach L'maisa, how do we paskin? So the Mechaber doesn't say it. Kedarko B'Kodesh, he's paskin like the Rif and the Rambam against the Rush. But the Ramah, based off of Tosfos over here, Rush, Rabbi Nuyon, and others, says that you should say it. Al Kopanim, L'kule Alma, L'chora, you should say the bracha, right? Whether you follow the Mechaber or the Ramah, whether you leave it in or out, you should say it. Which, and the it's Paskin and all the Poskim, Rambam, the Torah, the Shulchan Aruch, so Tzachian, why people don't say this bracha. So the Beragola says maybe the reason why they don't say it is because they're choshish for the Rishonim who say you should only say it with the minyan. And usually there's not a minyan in the Beis Avel. But L'chol HaPachos, at least, L'chuli Alma, if there is a minyan, there's an opinion that the Avel doesn't count for the minyan, so if there's a minyan without the Avel, then you should say it. There's no reason not to say it. Tzarech Iyan, I noticed that, I was curious, Art Scroll doesn't even have the bracha. Art Scroll on the bench, you know, in the sitter. Right. I didn't look in the Art Scroll morning book. So maybe some people do. But some Siddurim do have it. Now, there are other things, by the way, that the Shulchan Aruch says that you should say at a Beis Avel that people don't do. There's a You say Nachem, and there's like a longer Birkas Hazimun. Now, those people don't do either for the most part. That's a little less of an issue because it's not a Dina de Gemara. Those things aren't in the Gemara. You should still say that. We should follow it. It says in Shulchan Aruch, but I'm saying that troubles me a little bit less than this, which is, you know, in the Gemara. So it's a little schwer. Again, I think the Minhag Olam is based off of the fact that people don't, that there is, I guess, there's this opinion that you need a minion. Okay? But at least if you have a minion, you should do it. We're going to skip a little bit towards the bottom of the page. We have the halacha of the order for washing. When it comes to Maim Rishonim, we begin with the Gadol. He should go first. You know, sometimes I remember once waiting in line to wash in the calf. And yeah, what is it?
Oh,
he
needs the brother.
Oh, that's nothing to do with this, though. So somebody was mechabed somebody else to go in front of them, and the other person said, "Ein kibud b'mayim." So that is only said about mayim achronim, as the Gemara says, because when it comes to yadayim mezuhamos, maybe. But when it comes to mayim rishonim, our Gemara says that we're maschil min agadol, so really the gadol should wash first. However, if you take a look at the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Kuf Sadi Samach Hei Siv Beis, the ritual over here also, that's assuming that you're going to eat immediately after you wash. In other words, actually like in the calf, where everybody goes down and makes their own hamotzi. So then, yeah, the gadol would begin. If, on the other hand, the gadol would wash first in that case. On the other hand, if you're going to wait for everybody, like most people have at their own home, where the balabayas waits for everybody to finish washing before he makes hamotzi, so then, adaraba, then the gadol would go last, because it's not kavod for him to wash first, then he's just washing and then sitting around waiting for everybody else. But if he's going to wash right, if he's going to make the hamotzi right away, you're not going to wait for everybody, so then we would say the gadol should go first. Yeah, what was your question, Aaron?
Oh, I just said, should they be mayim baret?
Okay. So, now by mayim achronim, though, we say the opposite. By mayim achronim, then the mezamein would go first. But if there's more than five people, then the mezamein goes five from the end. Right? So the Gemara's illustration, if there are 100 people, so 94 wash first, then the mezamein would wash, four more people would wash after him. So what's the idea? Why like five from the end? In other words, if we think that he should be the last one, why should he be the last one? You know, so there's least interruption and there's no kavod by ein mechabdin lo b'yadayim mezuhamos. So then you should be the last, right? What's the idea of five from the last? So the Ravid explains, and it's quoted by the Rishonim over here, the Ritva, the Rashba, that's so you could prepare for benching. In other words, he'll have a little time since he's going to be leading the benching to prepare himself for the benching. So why five from the end? Because there are four brachos in benching. So he has the duration that it would take for four people to wash to prepare for each of the four brachos in benching. Now, you could say that's, you know, now that we bench with a bencher, that's not really necessary because we don't really have to prepare the benching. B'shiur ha-chachamim, the lesson of the Ravid is, she-b'shiur netil as-arba, yesh la'ayin b'arba brachos shel mazon. But I think you could argue that even though in a more literal sense, we don't have that, but still on the basic idea that a person should, you know, think and prepare himself for a moment or two before benching, so that we still have, and since he's the one leading the benching and maybe even being motzi everybody else, so that's the idea of putting him five from the end. Turning to Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, so the Tosfos over here deals with the stira between two sugyos, between a sugy and psachim, which sounds like it's mutter for people to taste before the mevarich, and this Gemara over here in Brachos that says not that way. Just very briefly, we've talked about this actually when we did the Shulchan Aruch. So I want to just be most of a couple of things that, a couple of small things, but maybe chazer a little bit. The Gemara over here in Brachos says, Ana mesubin rishayim litom ad shiyitom ha-mevarich. So he asked, the mevarich has to be first. The Gemara Pesachim has this story about a Rav Ashi, that Rav Ashi was a mechubed with Kiddush Rabbah, and he didn't know what that meant. He thought maybe they said the Friday night Kiddush. So he did a little chazanus at the end, and he saw this old man start drinking, and he knew that when they say Kiddush Rabbah, they meant it as a joke. Really, it's a very short Kiddush, just by Priyagafen. The stuff you say before isn't really part of Kiddush. So Tosus assumes, at the very least, that old man that started drinking before him, he waited till him to finish, maybe, but he was acting correctly in drinking before Rav Ashi drank. So we have a stira. So there are a number of answers given over here in the Rishonim. Some Rishonim are mechalik b'achila and shtia. By achila we say asar litam kodem, not so by shtia. Not so clear what the chiluk would be. Tosus and Pesachim along similar lines says dafka hamotzi tzarch lachol mashein ken by kiddush. Maybe what he means is that by kiddush we say yatsa motzi, even though it's a chova. And there's a famous machlokas in the Rishonim, and it's 2 days in the Shulchan Aruch. Ashkenazim are mekel, even by kiddush of daytime, even though really it's only a bor kriya gafen, since it's an obligatory bracha, we say yatsamotzi. Remember, the basic principle is for brichas and mitzvahs, we say yatsamotzi, right? So, and for kiddush Friday night or the hamotzi at the seder, not just alachilas matzah, but even hamotzi, we would say yatsamotzi. For regular brichas anenim, where you don't have to eat in the first place, we don't say yatsamotzi. What about kiddush Shabbos day? So this is a machloka. So the Tosfos over there says, yeah, we assume that we say yatsamotzi even for kiddush Shabbos day. Since we say yatsamotzi, so really, in a sense, the Mekadesh doesn't even have to drink at all. So if he doesn't have to drink in the first place, certainly it would be okay for the somebody else to drink before him. So therefore, in the case of Pesachim, which is talking about Kiddush El Yom, it was okay that the old man started drinking first. So that's one answer. Another answer is that Rishonim say, really, the old man didn't actually drink. He, like, pretended to drink. And the idea was, this is a very smart old man who was trying, he realized Rav Ashi was getting into trouble. Maybe that's why he was doing the chazanas at the end. So he gave him a hint that it's okay, Kiddush ends here, and that was going on. A third answer, which Tosus quotes over here from the Yerushalmi, is it depends. If everybody has a cup, so then it's okay if they drink before the Mekadesh. But if not everybody has a cup, just the Mekadesh has the cup, then the Mekadesh has to go first. Now, what's interesting is, as I said, this is based off of Yerushalmi. If you look at how this answer is quoted over here in the different Rishonim, you get a slightly different impression. In Tosfos, when he quotes this answer, what does he say? He just says that there's a need for everyone to have a cup, right? Look at the Lashon of Tosfos.
So he says koso biyado.
Other Rishonim over here don't mention biyado. They say there's a kos lifnei kol echad ve'echad. But Rabbeinu Yonah also stresses even more clearly koso biyado. Which sounds like that you actually have to hold the cup. So therefore, I assume that if you're doing this methodology, if they're actually going to drink before you, meaning to say everybody else, to make sure that
They're actually holding the cup. Again, that's a machlokas rishonim over here. Is it enough that the kos is in front of them, or do they actually have to hold it because it has to be like they're making the bracha? And finally, the fourth answer in Tosfos is the Sarmi Kutzi's answer, that no, that actually it's okay if everyone drinks before the Mevarich. Aye, the Gemara says that they shouldn't, over here says you shouldn't go first. No, that just means that you shouldn't take from the pas shebatza ha-mevarech lechol mimenu kodem. But if he gave it to them, right, then everybody could eat it first. So how do we pass them? We pass them like the third answer of Tosfos, base of Yushalmi, that if they're holding the cup, it's totally okay. Yes?
So this would be enough. I mean, if you need a revius or not,
no? No, everybody would agree. I think that you don't need a revius.
That you
don't need it for everybody to have a revius.
Right, meaning for some people it's key when you're making kiddush.
So that's what we're saying. The kiddush over here is that even though it's not as though, and that's, I think, that's gufa the kiddush of this idea from the Yerushalmi, which is even though we're saying when it's koso biado, the bracha is chal on the wine in front of you, and therefore you could drink before the mevarech. But it's not the pshat that everybody's making their own kiddush, and there's no need for them to have a revius.
Some rishonim have like amish lashon keeping when you're making kiddush. Some are have a.
Which rishon has that lashon?
Some people have different formulations of the rishon.
Yeah, so I hear that, but we don't paskin that way. Mm. We paskin, and that's why nobody. I mean, I don't think anyone mentions that requirement.
What was that? I couldn't quite hear clearly. What was that?
The question that Aaron was asking is, in Lamdus, maybe we'll say that the pshat in Koso Biado, the reason why you could drink first is it's ki'ilu, you made your own kiddush, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore you should have to have a revius. In other words, I have my own cup. It's there's just an ounce of wine in it. So I'm really depending then on the cup of the Mekadesh. And if I'm depending on the cup of the Mekadesh, then the Mekadesh would have to drink first. And it's only when the Shomim all have a kos that actually has a revius, kilu, they could make their own kiddush. It's just they're being yotzei al shomei kona. That's where we're going to go ahead and say that they could drink first. That's one way to potentially learn it. But that doesn't seem to, and Aaron said that there are some Rishonim that imply that. I don't remember. But that's not the way we paskin.
Couldn't you say that the kos held in the hand of the shomim is considered to be an extension of the kos of the mevorech?
That might be one way to look at it. You have to figure out exactly what an extension would mean. But you don't want to say it that far, because then why should they be able to go before the mevorech? That's the whole point. Tosis is trying to answer why the shomim could drink before the mevorech, right? So if it's an extension of his kos, so that means he only has a kos. And if he only has a kos, then he should have to go first. But the answer is something along the lines of what you're saying, which is that no, his is really the kos of Kiddush, but because it's chal on my cup, then there's no reason why I can't drink first. But that's the Kiddush here. Now, as we saw before, and you know, maybe another way of putting what Aaron was saying is this might be a little bit the nafka mina between, well, I'll say it differently. We reject the Sarmi Kutzi, right? Remember we saw machlokas between the Taz and the other Mefarshim, whether you're allowed to give out, let's say, bread or wine to the other people. Let's say not everybody has their own cup, right? So there we would say, if not everybody holds their, has their own cup, the Mevarech has to drink or eat first. Is it okay to hand out the bread first and then eat it later? So really, this comes down to how you understand a line in the Gemara, as we'll get to in a moment, because it says in the Gemara, Mem Zayin Amud Aleph over here, Habotseya Poshet Yado Tchila, litzvol pito bika'ara, which sounds like he should eat first. If he wants to give the machabit somebody else to eat first, so then that's okay. That's the simplest translation of the Gemara. Now, if you learn like the Sarmi Kutzi, that makes perfect sense, right? Because the Sarmi Kutzi holds that the other people could eat first. But if you hold, like we paskin, against the Sarmi Kutzi, that the Mevarich has to eat first, so how do we understand that? So one possibility is to say that it doesn't mean eat first. It means you could give them a chance to take first. You could be mechabi, they would have to wait to eat until the mevarich eats. But the mevarich can be generous and let other people take first, as long as he eats first. So the Taz, Sifkat and Tesvav, rejects that. He says, no, if you'll like the Sarmi Kutzi, fine, then everybody else could take first if you want. But since we reject the Sarmi Kutzi, then you shouldn't be able to hand out the challah before you yourself eat. That would be a hafsek. But we paskin against that Taz. We paskin the father, the man of Ban, that it would be okay. Right? Now, why would that be? The Taz seems to make a lot of sense, right? Right? What the Rama writes, Ena misubin rishayim litom ad shiyatam habotzeya. But the Rama says, Aval motor lasis l'cholachat chalko kodim sha'alchal mimehu. V'hem yamtinu ad shiyochalhu. So what's the logic? Once they have to wait for me to eat, why should they be able to take first? So one way to understand this would be that they're arguing about the gather of hafsek. They're arguing about the gather of hafsek. What's the problem with being mafsek? So if you remember, we saw that the Kesef Mishnah learned the Rambam as saying that the idea of hafsek. Now, well, let me just add one more point. Maybe you'll say that, okay, but this is, we saw before that to be mafsek between a bracha and achila, if it's me'inyan habracha or me'inyan asuda, that's okay, right? But that's only okay b'diavad. So why l'chatchila would be okay to hand it out if you don't say like the Sarmi Kutzi? That's the kasha of the Taz. But if you learn like that Kesef Mishnah, like the Beis Yosef, that the chisaron and hafsek means that doing something in between the bracha and achila that makes it look like the achila isn't going back on the bracha, that any time that it's muchach, that it is going back on the bracha, like in this case, you're handing out the bread that's going to be eaten, that's not going to be a hafsek. It's true that the mevarich has to eat first, but here you're just giving out the bread that you're about to eat. You're just giving out the bread that you're going to eat. And even though l'chatchila, we do try to minimize the hafsek, like we saw, you should even cut the bagel before the hamotzi, cut the bread before the hamotzi halfway, at least during the week, to minimize the hafsek. Yeah, but here you can't hand it out beforehand. So therefore, it would be okay. Maybe that's the pshat. Now, Lamaisa, probably better to be machmir on this shaila, even, you know, to be choshish for the Taz. But strictly speaking, I think we would be meifal. Now, another option is very, very interesting in terms of understanding what it means that the Botzeya could give Rishus for the Baal HaBayis to go first. And that comes up here in Tosfos. And there's Paskin and Shulchan Aruch Sifri Yitzayin. Now, what does it mean? We're not talking about bread, right? It means the Baal HaBayis could give out the chicken. He can give his Rebbe the first dibs in the chicken. Okay, so that's not such a chiddush. But look at the Rambam on our sugya over here. Rambam Perek Zayin Halacha Hey, and the Kesef Mishnah's reading, that he understood that the Rambam rejects the Sarmi Kutzi, but at the same time, you could let your Rebbe go first, right? Isn't that an amazing shot? The Gra doesn't like this because he thinks it's against Yerushalmi, but and Rabbeinu Yonah also says it. Listen to Rabbeinu Yonah over here. Lamed Dalet Amid Beis B'Dap Be'Aref. B'Mbal Lachol Kafat L'Rabo L'Mish Gadol Minanu B'Chachma Rishus B'Yada. Kolomer Im Achar Shebatza Nosein Mima Shebotzei L'Mish Gadol Minanu B'Chachma B'Nosein L'Am Rishus Shiyochlu Tchila HaRishus B'Yada. Aval Shar B'nei Adam She'enem Gadol Minanu Yochol Asis L'Fnei Mima Shebatza. Aval ein nosin lam rishus shiyochlu tchila she'ein lahem lachol pas ad shiyochal hu tchila. Right, so how does the Rambam and Rabbeinu Yonah learn? Unbelievable, right? Who goes first, the mevarich or everybody else? Well, the answer is it depends. If the mevarich is the gadol, then the mevarich has to go first. But if the mevarich isn't the gadol, let's say the Rebbe zip and meal, then he can give the Rebbe tea first. So what's pshat over there, right? How do we understand that logic? No, you got a pshat out, Aaron?
No, sorry.
Oh, you're,
no,
you're raising your hand.
Finally, we'll get in the rush of stuff, and who has it that it's ki'ilu kolach ha'kidesh al kosa.
So you want me to die from the rush of Sachem that says it's ki'ilu kolach ha'kidesh al kos b'yado? What's he saying?
He says, "Imad the Amar Rabbi Yudan Amakesh Kashir Shachol Hafak Koso B'Yado V'Hashdani Hafak Kashir." He's dealing with the same question. The Tzarech Lomar Ki Koso Shalhem Lohani Bumim Shayirun Bracha Shani Roin Ki Luko Hafak Kidesh Al Koso Apapi She'in Tzarech Lishtos Lachatchila Miyum Mitzah Lishtos. So the impression you get from the Rush is that when we pick it up, so then we are ki'ilu making kiddush. And so again, according to the Rush, perhaps one could argue that you need all the tanaim of kiddush, including a revius of nyan.
You could argue that. I agree. But it didn't say it.
I mean, ki'ilu.
Okay. I hear what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I hear.
And it's also interesting, Rabbeinu Yonah, Tosus doesn't mention this, but Rabbeinu Yonah, when he quotes this, he says, Kikar B'yada.
Yes.
And Kos B'yada. So,
that's what that deal I wrote, but I don't think that means you have to have a shear.
I mean, that's just, one could argue that it's another.
You could have argued that.
Yeah. I think it's very compelling. Otherwise, just we mentioned that it's conceptually difficult to understand how you could eat before the mevarich. It's not you; you're making kiddush
because it's chal on your thing. Yeah, that's the kiddush. The way we paskin, you're absolutely right, Aaron. Is a very big kiddush. It's a much bigger kiddush than what you're saying. Maybe you're right. I don't know. I hear. So going back to Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rambam, so what's the pshat? Why would we say that it's okay for the other guy to eat first if he's a gadol, but not if he's a katan? I don't know. Maybe the pshat is that he's saying that the reason why the other people can't eat first is really al tefsek, because it's not necessary, right? He shouldn't be giving out the stuff before he eats, right? But if he has to give out the stuff before he eats, because he should be mechabe gadol with the first piece, so then memeil, it's not a hepsit. In other words, fundamentally, Rabbeinu Yonah, maybe he's learning like the Sami Kutzi, that it would be atzilchos brachos okay for the other person to eat first. And that's why when the Rav eats first, it's fine. It's just that he's saying that it's not normally, it would be a hefsek to give everybody else first before you eat. But in this case, where that's the chiddush of the Gemara, when it says in balachlok rish kavod l'rabo, then it wouldn't be a hefsek, and the mele it's okay. So we don't paskin like this Rambam and Rabbeinu Yonah, as the Gra points out, but it's a very interesting halacha. Okay, the Gemara says in Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, Shnai mamtinen zel azebet ka'ara, shlosha ein mamtinen. Habotzeya hu poshi yadu tchila. So what does it mean? So it sounds like to me what it means is that if two people are eating together, one person shouldn't start eating until the second. In other words, right? In other words, it's manners. And who gets to take the first, piece of chicken from the platter? Vibotzeya. And then the second person should take. But if the second person hasn't really taken, the first person shouldn't start eating. And that's when it's two people. But if it's three people or more, then you don't have to wait for everybody to take before you start eating. And what's the reason for this? It's minhag d'acharetz. To wait for one other person, that's good manners. To wait for 10 people, you don't have to go so far. Like the Ritva says in this Gemara, v'derech eretz kamash malon. Whereas the Gemara's chiddush here is really a halacha in terms of what's manners. Rabbeinu Yonah says a little differently, but similarly, l'amidalatim based up in a riff, he writes that if two people, im echad chote chalachem, omamtin lo, sheyitnu lo min aprusa shel hamotzi, sheyesh l'chaveiro l'hamtino mipnei derech eretz. But not when there are three people. That works a little better if you don't say like the Taz, right? Because really what it sounds like is against the Taz. Like the Ramah, that you should give, if it's two people at the very least, you should give to the other person before you take your bite. Three people, then no. So halacha l'maaseh, what does that mean? Do you have to wait for your host to sit down before you eat? So according to this, only if there's two people. Now, of course, if it's a rude in your society, if the manners are to wait, so then you should. The Ritva over here points out that even though, for example, there's no kedima b'derach, right? That's what our Gemara says at the bottom of the page. Tan Rabbanan, ein mechabdin b'drachim. But the quotes of Gemara where one of them, Orion, was offended that somebody went before him, and you have to be, the Gemara says that he was mephayis him. He's trying to answer Tosis's kasha. Tosis gave a different answer. But anyway, so what does this mean? That if somebody's offended by a certain action, you have to be revised them, even though according to the practices of Derech Eretz and the Gemara, there was no need to be mechaber him. So if the if in your society you wait, even if it's more than two people, then you shouldn't offend the Baal Bayis. Though I should also point out, on the other hand, that one of the things you see from the Gemara and Memvav on the base is that, the Reish Galusa was saying how wonderful the Persian manners are, right? And the Gemara said, no, our manners are better than their manners, meaning to say that the way we, Chazal, sort of instituted in terms of the proper protocol or procedure, a way to be mechabed other people and the like, that's a better way of doing it. So we shouldn't just copy what they do. There's great wisdom in the Chacham's way of doing it, but you also shouldn't offend anybody. So that's the way I read the Gemara. But if you look at the Beis Yosef, he has a different shot here. The Beis Yosef writes that this means that in the middle of a meal, posek echad melachol me'akara, kedei lishtos olinyan acher, yafsek chaveiro gam ken melachol me'akara, achayigmor hashtia, oh, ha'inyan ha'acher, but not with three people, right? So let's say Aaron and I are eating lunch together, and I stop eating and I take a drink. So Aaron should stop eating while I drink. That's in Kuf Ayin Sif Beis. So that's a big chiddush, right? So the Malbusha Yantif says, you know what? That's only when they're talking about where they're eating from the same platter. Because then if I eat while you're taking a break, you like stop for a moment from eating, right? You step out, you go get a drink or whatever it is. So then I'm going to end up getting much more than my portion, right? But if everybody's eating from their own plates, then this won't apply. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan is medayik from the Beis Yosef. This Aruch HaShulchan, Kuf Ayin Sif Dalad. He writes, V'nira d'zeo k'sh'ochon akar achas, l'chein, mipnei derech eretz tzarech lasos kein. Avok sh'kol achat ochon akar b'fnei atzmo, lo sh'ayach din zeh. Fine. L'maisa, Aruch HaShulchan writes, we should pass in this halacha in both ways. Both the way the Beis Yosef reads it, which is if two people are eating from the same plate, one person stops eating to like have a drink, the other person stops eating, as well as the other way to read the Gemara, what we said at first, which is it means that you should wait for the other person to get his food before you start eating. Okay. The Gemara says on Mem Zayin Amud Aleph that Rabbi Bar Hanna taught his son that Eina Botzei Rishai Lefzoa Ad Shichala Amen Mipi Ha'onim. That's Rashi's Girsa, meaning to say that the Botzei says Hamotzi before he starts cutting the bread, he should wait for everybody else to say Amen, and then he should start cutting. That's also the Girsa of the Ritva, and that's why Rashi and the Ritva say this is basically another manifestation of the Halacha that we saw on Lamed Tesem and Beis, Shetachala Bracha Kodem Betziah, meaning say don't start doing Betziah Sapasa in the middle of the Bracha, finish Hamotzi before you do Betziah Sapasa. Not only that, but since Amen is part of the Bracha, so therefore you shouldn't start doing Betziah Sapasa until they say Amen. Look at the Rambam, Zion Hay, and also the Rif. They have a different Girsa in the Gemara. Their Girsa was, Enabotzei Rishai Litom, Achichala Amen Me Piha Onen. Meaning, say they shouldn't eat until the Botzei should eat until you do. They finish Amen. But if he wants to cut, he could. Right now, the Nafka Min is when if I'm doing Botzei Sapas, when should I start cutting my challah? As soon as they finish the bracha, as long as they don't eat while they're still saying Amen, or I should wait until they finish saying Amen before I start cutting, and that's the machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam. Now, what is the pshat in Rashi? So Rashi explains that's because Amen is part of the bracha. What's pshat in the Rambam? So it could be that there's not such a machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam. That's sort of the way the Kesef Mishnah tries to say it. Even according to the Rambam, fundamentally, the bracha isn't finished until they say Amen. But we could also say maybe the Rambam doesn't accept Rashi's Chiddush, and he thinks that Anias Amen isn't necessarily part of the bracha. Now, it's interesting, maybe a little riot to that, is the Rambam paskins this halacha where? In Perek Zayin, which is basically Derech Eretz. In other words, the Rambam would say that this is a din, it's rude to start eating while they still say Amen. But it's not the halachic point that the Amen is part of the bracha. Now, I was thinking about this recently, because I was at a beautiful bris. And so this is a very common shiloh. So yeah, Aaron will, remind us. He was at the most, at a bris recently, right? So what happened? So the Moel said the bracha v'alamila, and then he said to immediately say your bracha, right? Now, when did he do the mila? You watching?
I try to look at the mila and I was up a chance.
Uh-huh. So the answer is, I didn't watch yours, but in the examples that I see, basically, as soon as the mola finishes his bracha, and so he has not waited for them to say Amen, right? So according to Rashi and the Ritva, the Mo is acting incorrectly because Amen is part of the bracha, right? So he shouldn't do the meal until they say Amen. Now there's another chisa. Okay, you say, okay, fine. So maybe according to the Rambam, it would be okay. But maybe it's not even so geshmak according to the Rambam. Why? Because there's a big machlokas, what about the nature of the bracha of lachniso? We don't have time to get into the details now, but bekitzer, according to the Rosh Mishans, lachniso is a birkas hamitzvah as well. Like we say, shekitam sozav sivanu. And therefore, it should be done before the milah. And therefore, he thought you say both brachos before the milah. Rabbeinu Tam says it's a birkas hashavach, so you could do it afterwards also. We paskin bekitzer, without getting into so many details, the way the Rosh says it, the Das Rabbeinu Tam, is that it's okay to do it after the mila, but you should do it before the priya. Great. But nowadays, almost all Moalim do milo priya bevas achas. Certainly when it's not on Shabbos, but even on Shabbos, almost all Moalim do it. So really, we're not being mekayim what the Rosh, what the Shulchan Aruch says. Why? Because right, since we paskin like Rabbeinu Tam, but it should be done before Priya. So l'chayra, you shouldn't, the way we do it, we're basically making the bracha after Kriya. So why are the Moalim in such a big rush? Right? It's very simple. Because the baby starts crying. They set up the Mila, right? The babies start crying. They, you know, once they put on the guard and they, you know, they first put in the thing, they make the hole, right? So then the baby's crying. So they don't want to wait for the father to make the bracha. They don't even want to wait for the amen to be finished. Okay, so maybe we shouldn't be machmir for Shitas Rashi because the baby's in pain, the baby's crying already. I think that's why the Moalim are so quick. So is it okay? Is it okay? So Lamaisa, it's okay, b'diavad, because first of all, the minag among Sfardim anyway is to do it afterwards. And even for Ashkenazim, it's not ma'akev, as long as they're asukim ba'oso inyim. In other words, they're still asukim ba'oso inyim, you could still make the bracha of lachmiso. And I saw, how do you define asukim ba'oso inyim? So they quote from Rav Yashiv, they're considered asukim ba'oso inyim ad sheyishlach es hatinok imakvater b'chazara le'imo. So as long as you didn't send the mother back, the baby back, it's still asukim ba'oso inyim. And it would still be okay to make the bracha of lachmiso. When we talked about this earlier in the year, we talked about the shita of the Raman, the Orzarua, that maybe Amen is even the Akev, but I don't think we're going to go back into that now. There's no time. The Lugar is an interesting lashon of the Lo Yizrok bracha mipiv. So what does that mean? Rashi says it means don't say the bracha very quickly. That makes it look like a burden. You're trying to get the bracha out of the way. Say the bracha slowly. The Ritva says it means that you should make a hecker at the end of the bracha. Lo kizoriko samipiv kishar tevo shevemtza. So you have to say the bracha with like a little niggard. Very interesting, right? Hamotzi lacha min ha'aretz. If you say aretz in the same tone as you say everything else, then it's like your zorik bracha mipiv. You have to have like a nice thing at the end. Hamotzi lacha min ha'aretz. Okay, interesting. Or it means you shouldn't be so quick to say another bracha before everybody has a chance to say amen. So what does that mean, right? Like Birkas HaShachar, sometimes the guy's saying it so quickly that before you say Amen, he's already up on the next bracha. That's what it means, Lo Yizrok Bracha Mipiv. And I thought that second answer, the Ritva, right, works very nicely because the other halachos in that chain are all about Amens, right? Amen Chatufa, Amen. So this is also halachan Amen. It means Lo Yizrok Bracha Mipiv so that they have a chance to say Amen. And all four of those halachos are Amen. All right, we don't have time. What we want to talk about next time, Bekitzer, is our Delay Viguzala. Yeah, oh, we did that already, actually. Okay, we'll pick up next time. I think what we'll talk about next, we're going to go, we'll do Mamzai and the base. We'll start with the Sugya, the Bracha on Machalos Asuros, which we talked about already once, but if you look at the Rishonim over here, there are a lot of new Chidushim that came up. Now, what I want you to do on this topic of Machalos Asuros is go back to the Rishonim at the beginning of the parak on the Mishnah by Demai, and not just Demai, by Machalos Asuros, because that's where the Rishonim appear.
Doesn't sound like you do make a reference, only talking about Zimun.
Oh, you think like the Rai did, right? So the Rashba and the Ritva both have very strong kashas on that Shita. All right. Shkoyach, everyone. Have a good Shabbos.
Thank you, Rabbi. Have a good Shabbos.
I assume you're in a hurry to get a mincha?
Yeah.
Okay, there's a few questions I have on the share, but I don't want to, you know, it's not a more than a second to answer.
Okay.
When can I call you?
Call me at 6:30.
6:30. Okay, I'll try to do that.
Okay. Shkayach.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you for the share.